So God, we may not have a lot, but we give you what we have and ask you to use it in your name. Amen.
Who's the most influential person in your life?
My father.
My mother.
Probably my mom. My grandma.
I would say my dad.
Tell you the truth, it's my parents. I don't know any way to get around that. It's my parents.
Who's the most influential person in your life?
In my life? My parents. Do you have to pick one?
Not necessarily. What influences you?
Popular culture, literature. Sort of a quick summation, I suppose.
I'm influenced by the weather a lot.
By life, the beauty of it. By the people who don't have the same opportunities as I have. I think that's what influences me the most to like do what I do and be who I am.
Music, art, people, my mom, God.
What influences me? My surroundings, my friends, where I'm from.
The news.
My wife, I'd say, yeah. She definitely influences me.
What influences me? My family, my friends, and my ideals.
Probably my professors. I know that sounds stupid, but I've learned a lot from them.
What influences you?
What influences me? Well, the media, of course.
For better or for worse?
Oh, I don't know if I would say, you know, make a judgment one way or the other, but we're, you know, we're so surrounded and inundated with it all the time. You can't really help it, can you?
Probably not.
What influences me? Well, lately I think music has really been good.
What influences me? I guess just the environment which I am, which would be the country, and then my family and friends, and also... philosophically, I do a lot of meditating, and I think that influences me a lot also.
Who do you influence in your life?
My friends, my family, people I work with.
How do you influence them?
By the way in which you communicate with them, the way in which you treat them, and just to some extent inspiring them if you're good enough to inspire them.
So how about your life? Who do you influence with your life?
I hope to influence my peers.
I don't know how much of an influence I've been, but I think whoever I meet in this world, I just always try, especially where I come from, I just always try to tell them that they can achieve and really reach their potential beyond what they believe or beyond the circumstances that surround them.
My wife and I sort of mutually influence each other, so obviously because of the time we spent together, I think I'm the strongest influencer of her.
Do I influence? Nobody yet, I think.
What are you waiting for?
Waiting to really know something serious before I really do something.
Who do you influence with your life?
My teammates and my little sister.
I don't really know. I mean, you'd have to ask everybody else about that.
I don't know how much influence I have. I don't know. You never really know how much you influence anybody, so I really don't know.
Good morning. Well, today I think we can all begin to ask ourselves those three big questions that we just saw in the video. Who is the most influential person in your life? What are the things that are influencing you? And who is it that you are influencing? This morning, we are starting a new 3-week series called Influence, and we're going to be talking and thinking about how we as a church and as individuals are called by God to be purposeful, not only about who is influencing us, but also purposeful about who we are influencing with our lives, especially when it comes to our spiritual lives. Many of you may be familiar with people in our culture that are called influencers. This is a term that the Webster Dictionary actually entered 3 years ago. And so their definition of an influencer is a person who's able to generate interest in something such as a consumer product by posting about it on social media. So influencers are people who have followers, and because people are following them, it gives them marketing power. So brands come alongside influencers and they pay them money to create and promote content, promotional content, branding, products. And what we want to begin to think about, what we want to suggest in this series, is that the term influencer is actually a term that can be applied to each of us. We don't have to have a large social media following to have influence. You can see in the video, as people were asked questions, it was a whole lot easier for them to say who the people were that influenced them than to come up with the people they themselves were influencing. So we're going to think about that. This week I was reading an article about influence, and I don't know about you, but sometimes when you're reading stuff online, the most interesting thing becomes the comments after the article. And so I was looking through some of these comments from this, and there was a person that wrote, "I don't let anything influence me. I am an independent thinker. I make my own decisions." And so you can just hear kind of the attitude in that, right? Like, it sounds so good. I'm sure that this person felt very strong and powerful to write it. But what I'm telling you is, it absolutely is not true. We are influenced by others. We're influenced by our family and by our friends, by teachers and writers and celebrities and media. And we're influenced by other things like art and the weather and culture and the environment that we live in. Every day, if you think about it, we are surrounded by people who are purposefully trying to influence us to buy products, influence our political thinking, and people that are trying to influence our choices. Think about parents. Parents use all kinds of techniques of influence to make sure their children are behaving the way they want them to behave. People use money and gifts to influence favor. And so there's that really obvious purposeful influence. And then there's another level of influence that's there, but a little bit more subtle. A number of months ago, Jeff had a problem with his pineapple farm. And so you, if you have been here, may have heard stories of this, but he is growing pineapples in our backyard. And we had never had this problem, but a few months ago, something was eating the pineapples. And so each morning he'd wake up and this particular pineapple would be getting smaller and smaller as it was being eaten. And he didn't really know what to do. And so he was telling some people his problem, and he ended up borrowing from Mike Hurd, thank you Mike, a live trap. And he tried some different techniques, different things. Finally, he caught the perpetrator and he relocated a very hungry rat to another part of St. John's County. I won't tell you where that is. And so that really solved the problem. There weren't any more after that until a couple weeks ago, we came back from our vacation, went out to look at the pineapples, and there was a pineapple that was beginning to be eaten again. The same thing. And so this time Jeff said, "I'm going to go find Mike and borrow back the trap." And I said, "Jeff, why don't you just go on Amazon and buy one so that you have it in case this continues to be a problem?" He said, "Great idea." He went and he purchased the trap. And he wants to make sure that you know on the very first try, he captured a rat. He relocated them to that place in St. John's County and has been very successful. And so there's that kind of influence where someone says, "Try this," or someone says, "Get that." And we do it, and we don't really think about it, but it's influence. We also are influenced in ways that aren't necessarily purposeful at all, ways that we may not even notice, because all of us tend to do things to fit in and to align with the people that we are around. So this week, my oldest daughter, as she went back to college today, was thinking back about the past year, and she was commenting on the things that she realizes that she says now that were things her friends say. So the things that they, just by being around them, she has picked up over the last year. And I remember when Jeff and I were first married, we lived in Orlando and we were youth directors there. The first time that we went back home, which was on the west coast of the country, we were home and some friends of ours said, "I think you guys are starting to get an accent." And I thought, okay, that's crazy, that's silly. And so we went back to Orlando and some students in our ministry, I said, you know, we went back and they told us that we were starting to get an accent. Do you think we have an accent? And this girl looked at me and laughed and said, "You don't have an accent, you have lost an accent, because when you got here, you sounded funny." So you pick up what you're around. And we could go on, and if I'm honest, you know, I'm right now trying to influence you to think about influence. And it goes on. So as we look at this topic, we have to acknowledge both that there are people and things around us that are trying to influence us, and at the same time, there are the ways that we influence the people and the things around us. Our decisions at work influence how our business is run. Who we hire influences the culture of our organization. The book that we require students to have the first week of school that everybody has to have is now out at the St. John's Public Library. It is out at the Mandarin Barnes & Noble, and so it is forcing parents to drive to the town center to find this book. Not that I would know anything about that. The way that you speak to someone influences how they respond, whether they will be defensive or receptive to your words. The restaurant you recommend is one that your friends may be more likely to try. The things you post on social media influence the way that people perceive and see you. It's happening whether or not that we're aware of it. And so in this series, for the next 3 weeks, we want to look at examples of influence in Scripture. And we want to suggest that we will live better lives, that our faith will develop more deeply, and that the world will be changed for God's kingdom more fully if we are being purposeful. Purposeful not only about who we are allowing to influence us, but purposeful about how we are using our influence. When we open up the Bible, it's not hard to find examples where influence comes into play. In the Old Testament, Eve was influenced by the serpent and then influenced Adam to eat the fruit in the garden. In the days of Noah, people were influencing each other to ignore God, leading to the ark and the flood. Prophets used their influence to try to call the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel back to God. David used his influence to get Bathsheba into his bed and then to have her husband killed. Esther allowed her uncle to influence her so that she would go before the king and use her influence to influence the king to save Israel. Nehemiah used his influence to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And then we have Jesus. Jesus spends time with God, seeking God's influence over his life. And then he purposefully chooses 12 disciples, 12 friends that he can in turn shape. He pours into them, he teaches them with words and by example, and then these disciples, they are putting themselves with Jesus, they are allowing themselves to be influenced by him so that they can be sent out, and then they become the influencers of others in their words and the way that they live. So in Jesus, we have a model for how spiritual influence works at its best. So today we are going to take that first part of influence, who and what we are allowing to have power over us, what are we allowing to shape us, to have our ear, to give access to our hearts and minds, and then the next 2 weeks we're going to look at how we are using our influence in the world and how we are using our influence at home. Proverbs is a book in the Old Testament full of what I'll call God's wisdom in small bits. And so they're little sayings. And there are a few things that Proverbs has to say about influence. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." Proverbs 22, verses 24 to 25 says, "Don't make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared." Proverbs 12, 26 says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the ways of the wicked leads them astray." So who we spend time with matters. The news station that we watch, the podcast we listen to, the people that we are around, all will exert influence over us. Sure, we have some control about the amount of space that we give over to work in our lives and minds, but it's just true. Who you are with shapes some of who you are. Over the years, I've had multiple parents come to me concerned about someone who was spending time with their child, someone that they were concerned would have influence that will rub off on them, bad influence. But I have yet to have a parent come to me concerned that their child isn't spending enough time with kids making bad choices. People say Jesus is one of the most influential people in the world. But as one of the greatest influencers that ever was, Jesus was also influenced. Jesus was influenced by who he spent time with. And Jesus spent time in Scripture. Jesus spent time with God. Jesus didn't have a Bible to read like we do today. He grew up memorizing and reciting scriptures, listening to them read, hearing them in the temple. And in his life and ministry, he often would refer to Hebrew scriptures that he knew by heart, making corrections, making real-life applications. And so when Jesus, as an example of this, was in the desert facing the temptations, he responded to each of them with scripture that he had memorized, that he knew. They all come from the book of Deuteronomy. And so in Matthew 4, we find this. It says, "After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' And Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Deuteronomy. "Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand at the highest point of the temple and said, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." So Jesus spent time in Scripture. He knew it, he could use it, he could explain it. God used those words to influence who he was and how he lived. And so as Jesus followers, we are saying that we are putting ourselves under the influence of Jesus. But do our lives reflect that? Are we spending time in God's word in order for that to happen? Are we giving God space to shape us and to change us and to grow and deepen us? We can think, you know, I've been in church a really long time. I know what's there. I know what's in the Bible, so I really don't need to do that anymore. Or we can think on the other side, you know, the Bible is just too confusing. It was written such a long time ago. It's very, you know, it's hard to understand. It's not very accessible to me. But we want to encourage you to spend time in God's word. There are lots of reading plans and study books to do this. We actually have a service that we subscribe to as a church called Right Now Media. And this is free that we offer to all of you, whether you are a member or not. And it's like the Netflix of Bible studies. So it's all Bible studies, hundreds and hundreds of them on video. You don't even have to read. You can just push play and you will be reading, you will be listening to God's word. So if you don't have that, you can send an email to Ann or to Carla in the front office. They would be happy to set you up with that. The Bible app on your phone has all kinds of reading plans to help you start, to get you started in getting into Scripture, and it's free. You can download it before the end of the service. If you need a book, ask a friend for a recommendation, look on Amazon. We would love to help you get started in that journey of being with God in God's Word. Because to become mature Christians, we need to spend that time in God's Word. We need to let it rub off on us and shape us. Jesus spent time in Scripture, and Jesus also spent time being alone with God. Mark 1:35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." So Jesus, who was God's son, needed to be with God. Jesus would go to these solitary places and put himself before God in order to gain strength, in order to be aligned with God's will, in order to allow God to speak and have full influence over who he was. Jesus knew Psalm 46:10 that says, "Be still and know that I am God." Over a year ago, I began adding stillness to my daily routine. It's a time where I invite God to be with me, and I focus on being aware of God's presence. It's different than praying with words, because I'm not talking. Instead, I'm focusing on letting go of words to be aware of God with me. When I get distracted, I turn my thoughts back to God, and I am trusting that in this time, this spiritual practice that has shaped people over centuries, that this being with God, making my life open and available to God's influence, will shape me over time. Our session this summer has been reading a fantastic book called Being with God by A.J. Sherrill. He writes in the beginning of his book about this kind of contemplative prayer, and he asks, does it work? And this is what he writes. He says, "Rabbi Jonathan Sacks once compared the effect of prayer on a person to a tidal water rushing over a rock on a beach. We cannot discern the difference the water makes on the rock in the short run. But over time, the water slowly smooths and reshapes the rock. In the long run, the rock is transformed. That is what prayer does. Over time, it smooths out our rough edges, forging us into greater alignment with the kingdom of God as we live out our days on earth. Prayer works only when we consent to let God work in us. Prayer, in essence, is relational contact with the living God." When Jesus goes and visits his friends, Martha and Mary, Martha is busy getting ready to serve Jesus. She's running around the house, cooking, doing chores. And we know that Mary simply sits at Jesus' feet, wanting to be with him, wanting to be transformed. And Martha gets irritated. She gets kind of upset. Mary's not pulling her weight. And she tries to use her influence to influence Jesus to get Mary to get up and get off of her butt to do something. Luke chapter 10, verses 40 to 42, we see this story. She, Martha, came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what's better, and it will not be taken away from her." Isn't it true that it's often much easier to do things for God than to just be with God? But in order for our lives to have the biggest impact in the world, we need to be first intentional about who we are with. And there really isn't a shortcut here. If we are going to gain spiritual depth that's going to impact others, we need to spend time being with God. Jesus prayed. And he prayed using words as well. He taught his disciples to pray. Being with God does involve praying with words. When we pray, we talk to God about what we need. We recognize God's holiness. We ask for forgiveness. And we give thanks for our circumstances. Spending time with God in silence and in prayer are practices that shape us over time, that influence who we become. Jesus spent time in Scripture. Jesus spent time in stillness with God, and Jesus also spent time with other believers. His closest friends weren't perfect. They didn't always get it, but they were trying to learn. They were trying to follow God. Jesus didn't do life alone, and he found encouragement with those people that he spent time with. Jesus modeled what life in community looks like, doing life with others who are on the same God path together, growing and learning and serving in the world. And so it leads us to ask the next question: who are the people that are influencing us? Who are the people that we are spending time with? How do we see the ways that their influence comes and is shown in our lives? Do I have people in my life influencing me towards God and a life of godly character? And are there people in my life who are influencing me more away from God and a life that reflects his light in the world? As Jesus' followers, this isn't saying that we all need to go out and live in some kind of bubble. In fact, Jesus tells people to go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus tells people to go tell people outside of the church about him. And so in order to tell people outside the church about Jesus, you have to go outside the church. You have to be in relationships, be with people that don't know God. So by definition, unbelievers aren't following God. So the answer is not to just shut ourselves off from the world and to be separate, but I think instead to be aware of who we are with and who we are allowing to shape our opinions and our character and our priorities. And we need to have people in our lives who are living as Jesus followers, people we can be with who will encourage us in our lives of faith. The Christian life is done in community, where there is mutual accountability and learning and growth, and where we will find support and discernment and wisdom. And so if we want to have godly lives, we would do best to have godly people in our inner circle of influence. When we spend time with people at church, in small groups, in Bible studies, we are allowing God to shape us through others. Those people rub off on us. They inspire us. They will encourage us. They will hold us up when we are struggling. Who we spend time with certainly is about in-person relationships, but it also includes who we spend time with in books and in the media and through sermons and study. I personally am a reader, and I know that some of the biggest influences of my faith and ministry have been people that I don't personally know, but authors who know God and know about the God life that I am seeking. This week, I always order more books than I can possibly read, so there's more to read than I have read. But this week, I ordered another book I'm excited about. It's about the life of Eugene Peterson. Eugene Peterson was a Presbyterian pastor who wrote the Message translation of the Bible, along with a whole lot of books about pastoring and discipleship. And so this is someone that I want to learn from. I'm excited to hear, to read about his life, because I want to give my ear to someone who is smarter and who has done this a lot longer. I read books about leadership, books about ministry with students and with kids. I want to soak those things in. I want to shape what I do so that I can do it better. The book Being with God that I mentioned earlier, along with the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, has shaped me significantly over the last year and a half, but not significantly in a dramatic kind of way, but more like that image of the water washing over a rock slowly over time. It's when we're purposeful about who we are letting have the greatest influence on us that we are shaped and then can begin to live out of that. We're able better to discern the voices that are around us. So a few weeks ago, our family was on vacation in a very tropical place of the country, and we decided one day that we were gonna go to the beach, and a specific beach where you had to pay a parking fee and then an additional fee per person in your car. And so this was clearly written on their website. It was clearly on signs when you came in, but there was no actual human that was there taking money. And so you had to park your car and walk over to a kiosk, and then you had to mark that you were parking, and then you had to choose and select how many people were in your party, in your car. And I got in line, and there were two people in front of me, and the woman that was at the kiosk was kind of fumbling around with it, looking confused, and she turned around and asked the person in front of, the person behind her that was right in front of me, and said, I thought you were just supposed to pay a parking fee. You have to pay extra money just for every person? And he said, you know, it's kind of confusing. And she says, how are they even going to know? And in that moment, I had my thought in my mind, like, to jump in and say, well, I mean, they're not going to know, but it's the honor system. But I didn't say anything. And instead, the man in front of me said, they're not going to know. Looks to me like you're here by yourself today. And they laughed and they continued talking. And my guess is, from the conversation, that both of them didn't pay the full amount that they were supposed to, but I don't know that. But when it's my turn, I got up, I paid our $35, knowing that was the action of integrity, and that was what I hope will rub off on our children, that when nobody's watching, they do the right thing. And as I walked away, it was so interesting because I passed another group that was coming up to the kiosk having the same conversation. They were saying, I mean, how are they really going to know? They're not going to be really counting. And they were having to make that same choice. It's that dilemma of integrity in those small moments. And it's easier to cheat when other people around you are doing it. And just so that doesn't influence you to think that I'm some great holy person, I will tell you that in writing this sermon this week, God convicted me hard of some times that I have been in this same similar situation and done something very different. So we all have done it, but our integrity matters. And as I've been thinking about this particular interaction and the influence of words, I've wondered if there was some way that you could set up an experiment to see, you know, how much did what that man said when that woman asked the question influence her decision? And if I had said something about honor system, would it have changed anything? I don't know, but it's interesting to think about. Every day we are going to have voices of influence around us in things that are small and then things that have much greater stakes than a few dollars in a kiosk. The most important thing we can do as Jesus followers is to let Jesus be our greatest influencer, to give Jesus full access to our hearts and our minds, not just when it's convenient and reinforces what we already believe or what we want to do, but that we follow Jesus even when it goes against what the groups we are a part of are doing or what others are saying. Because it's not a question of if we are being influenced, but are we being purposeful about who and what we allow to shape us the most. And so pray with me as we ask God to help us live this out in our lives this week. God, you know us. You know the places we cheat. You know us when we have integrity in moments that no one sees. And God, you love us. As we talk about influence, we offer and open our lives to you today. We pray that we could remove anything that stands between us and you, and that you would come into our lives and that you would shape us, that you would change us, that a year from today we would be different because of the time we spend with you over the next year. So God, be alive in our lives. Help us to follow you. Help us to choose wisely what we allow to influence us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our closing worship song.